Let's pray before we go any further. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day and this opportunity we have again to come to worship you. Thank you for this season. Thank you that there is a hope that is real, that is within us and is eternal. That hope is in Jesus the Christ. Thank you for that, O God. Thank you again for all that could come this morning to this service. We pray that your Spirit would continue to guide us as we continue to celebrate and worship you. I do pray again, Heavenly Father, for the churches of our community and our region, that you would be there. Your Spirit would lead and guide and direct, and you, O God, would be glorified. Thank you for the scripture that we'll see this morning to remind us of Jesus. Thank you that we celebrate at Christmas Jesus. And may this season be all about Jesus. And so, Lord, we do realize there are those that perhaps have even come today heavy-hearted, perhaps even have come today that are hurting in their spirit, hurting in their body. We pray that you would comfort each and every one in and out of our church service here that is hurting, lonely, and just feeling blue. We pray that you would help them this season to look to you, to trust you, to cling to you, and feel the hope of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we look at Scripture and prepare for communion this morning, I pray that you would guide and direct and you would be glorified. I pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today is the first day, officially, the first day of Advent, but it's also the first Sunday of December. And so what I have done today is I have combined this idea of communion and the spirit of Christmas all together. And you may think, well, that really doesn't go that well together, but I want you to think, if you would, this day of two words, primarily humility and servanthood. Humility and servanthood. And so, if you have your Bible, turn to John 13. We're going to look at Scripture for a few minutes before we prepare for communion. John 13, this is the night that Jesus is spending in the upper room with his disciples. This is the night before he will be betrayed and crucified the next day. And again, you might be thinking, well, I thought we're supposed to be thinking about his birth. It's Christmas after all. I want to think of Jesus in his servanthood and humility today. And so John 13 brings us to that point. It gives us the only example of all the Gospels of this picture of humility and servanthood. Let me read some for us. John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And after supper was over, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. That's another story for another time. We know that story. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that's Jesus' hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he, that's Jesus, rose up from supper. He laid aside his garments. He took a towel and he girded himself with it. Verse 5 says, and after that he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Now, let me stop here. Do you all understand what's going on? In those days, when travelers would come to your home as a guest, as a person stopping by, one of the first things that you would do as to show hospitality would be to pour a basin of water and have your guests sit down there and your servant would wash their feet. This was very real. This is not just symbolical. This is very real. And so, when Jesus did this that night, he poured the water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel. That would have not been completely out of the ordinary for them because they did that in that day. What was very much out of the ordinary was, it's the low servants that were asked to wash the feet of the travelers. That was very much out of the ordinary. And so that's why you see this exchange here coming up. Here's what it says. And he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Why would he say that? Because feet washing was for the servants. Are you with me? The lowliest in the household would be the ones called upon. The neighbors have come. The travelers are here. Wash their feet. Peter, after all, had just spent 3 years with Jesus. Only days earlier had he stood there at the tomb of Lazarus when Jesus called Lazarus, come forth, and a man who had been dead for 4 days got up out of the tomb and walked out alive. Peter had seen that. Why would that somebody be washing my feet? Peter is the one that said sometime earlier in the 3 years of ministry when Jesus said, yes, but whom do you say that I am? Remember what Peter said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was Peter that recognized you are the Messiah. And so we wrestle with, and Peter was wrestling with, what in the world here? They were in the boat when Jesus calmed the storm, and they said, what kind of a man is this that even the very nature listens to his voice? When he says, wind stop blowing, the wind stops blowing. And now he's stooping to wash their feet? That's why Peter said, Lord, you shall never wash my feet, because he didn't want to see the Master, the Messiah, the Savior, stooped to serving and servanthood. And Jesus answered him, Peter and the rest, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter then said, Lord, because he wanted to be part with him. He wanted that fellowship, that relationship. He wanted to be his follower. Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head also. Wash me all. Now let me say before I go any further, friends, the opposite of humility is what? Pride. You know that. Let's try that once more. The opposite of humility is what? It is. Don't let pride get in your way of being served or serving. It was starting to get in the way. Don't let pride get in the way of being served or serving. Verse 12. So when he, that's Jesus, had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher, and you call me Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He was the Lord. He was their teacher. They called him Rabbi. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Okay, so he's putting things back in perspective. They are the servants. He is the master. And he said, the servant is not greater than the master. That doesn't mean the master couldn't wash their feet. He took it a little further. he said, nor is he who is sent, that's Jesus, greater than he who sent him, that's God the Father. If you know these things, what things? I have given you an example. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You see what I mean? Humility. Servanthood. When you think of what Isaiah, go back into the Old Testament, you know this because you know the Christmas story. Isaiah proclaimed a lot of things about the Messiah, one of which he called him several names, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, God. Now, I don't know if you ponder this much at Christmas time, friends, but I've been pondering it these days. Jesus was there at the beginning with God when he created everything, right? We know that. That's fairly easy to get our arms around. The Bible says that we created man in our image. That means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all there at the beginning. Paul writes about this in the letter, I think it's to the Ephesians, although I didn't look it up, so I could be wrong. But he said, through him, that's Jesus, all things were created, and by him all things are held together. That's Jesus. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father today, and he was with God at the beginning. He was always part of the Trinity. He is God. And yet Almighty God, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, humbled himself to coming to earth to be born of a human being and laid in a manger. That's humility. That's servanthood. Are you with me? I'm not losing you. I lost some folks in the first service. Matter of fact, Tim was the only one that put people to sleep today. I've done that too. Think of the contrast. Whom do you say that I am? He said to the disciples, because he wanted the disciples to get it. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is Master. It was only days earlier than this little act that he was being hailed King when they shouted Hosanna. It was only days before this when the palm branches and the clothes were on the ground and he came on in the donkey and they shouted Hosanna. And now he's serving. He's on his knees washing their nasty old feet. Have you thought about the contrast? From what he left to what he came to. Humility and servanthood. A radical love for humanity. That's why he did it. And I want us to get that picture today, friends, before we get ready for communion and this Advent season. I want us, the church, to get that picture. Why? Because he said, I'm giving you an example. That's why. Are you listening? I'm giving you an example. And I wonder today, if God were to judge me or to judge you on our humility, how well would we score? I wonder if we were called upon to serve the least of these, the lowliest, how well would we do? Would you wash somebody's feet? I grew up in a church that we used to wash somebody's feet every quarter as a matter of humility and doing what Jesus did in that day. Okay, so maybe we don't walk around barefoot. Well, some people do. My granddaughters, they're walking around here all the time barefoot. Maybe we don't have the same kind of feet washing as they did as a form of servanthood, but there are other ways to serve. Maybe your neighbors, maybe your guests aren't coming over with dirty feet. Maybe they are. But normally we don't get out of basin and we wash their feet anymore. But it was very natural in that day to serve by washing feet. And so, would you wash the feet of those who showed up at your place? Would you go to jail and minister to those people in jail? Or would we have the attitude, they deserve it? They made their bed, they can lay in it. Would you spend time in the hospital or the care centers ministering to the sick and dying? Would you, if we do have homeless in our community, and we do come alongside New Pathways in Brainerd to help them each year, but what if we had lots of them right here in our town? Would you go down to the homeless area and minister to them? You see, that's what he did. And I ask ourselves today, I ask myself first, and we as followers of Christ, how humble are we? Would you be willing to serve in any capacity to the least of these in your neighborhood? And I fear, brothers and sisters, the answer for many, even the answer for many who sit in churches is no. No, I'm not willing to do that. Matter of fact, I got a reputation to uphold. Matter of fact, they call me by title. Matter of fact, I'm the teacher. And I fear that for many, even in the churches of America, when asked the question, are you willing to serve the least of these in any capacity? I fear the answer would be no. No, I really don't want nothing to do with the homeless, Jim. No, I really don't want to do nothing to do with the drunkard or the drug addict. I really don't want nothing to do with the kids. They're loud and they get on my last nerve. I really don't want nothing to do with the dirty. I really don't want nothing to do with sinners. You listening to me this morning, friends? Way too often, I fear the answer in the church is, no, thank you, I'm not interested. Verse 15, Jesus said, for I have given you an example. Why? That you should do as I have done to you. Why did he give us the example? Did he come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He did. Did he raise the dead? He did. Did he give sight to the blind? Did he heal the lepers? He did. But he also washed their feet. And he said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. You see, friends, serving each other is a directive from Jesus. But in reality, way too often pride gets in our way to serve. We say, for some strange reason, well, they made their bed, they can lay in it. Or we say something, they're getting what they deserved. Pride gets in our way to serve. And I said it to you before, I'll say it again, don't let pride get in the way to be served or to serve. I realize that sometimes serving is the last thing on our minds. I realize that. And I also realize that if we're ever going to serve anybody in any capacity, we have to humble ourselves. Are you with me? In my pride, I won't be willing to serve anybody. We must humble ourselves to serve. That's what Jesus did. And he said, I'm giving you this example that you do the same things. And so, humility, yes, it's Christmas. Yes, it's Advent. But humility describes the Son of God humbling himself to leave the splendor of heaven, to be born of a human being and placed in a manger. That's humility. Humility after he was born and taught and did these miraculous things because he is God after all. Humility took him all the way to the cross. That's humility. Humility describes the Son of God. I wonder how well it describes us, including me, in the church today. And so may I encourage us now, and I'm going to close and we're going to get ready for communion. May I encourage us in the church, followers of Christ, doesn't matter the denomination. Denomination is a church. Remember, I've told you over and over, it is when we profess faith in Jesus Christ that we become part of the church, the bride of Christ, the body. And so may I encourage the church today and this Christmas season and beyond to humble ourselves and give of ourselves rather than worrying about what we might receive. May I suggest and may I encourage us, we find ways to serve that we've never done before to those in our communities and beyond. May I suggest that we in the church be content for once with what we have and stop fussing about what we don't have. There's a lot of ways to serve. A lot of ways. I'm so blessed to know that there are people in our congregations and in churches that want to know who they can bless at Christmas time. People have come to me again this season, say, Jim, tell me somebody I can help. I'm so blessed at 229 shoeboxes that got put together for little kids around the globe. This congregation put 229 of them. I'm so blessed by things like Angel Tree that sits right out there that had all kinds of young ones' names on it. And people have taken those angels off and are preparing things for those children this Christmas. I am so blessed about that. I'm so blessed that people, our ladies group, would be putting baskets together and meals together and singing to folks next weekend. I'm so blessed that we have that attitude of humility and servanthood. I'm blessed by that. And if you weren't able to get in on any of that, there's 101 other opportunities to do a lot of good at this time of year. But may I humbly suggest we listen to the words of Jesus at this Christmas time when He said, "Do you know what I have done to you?" When He washed their feet, He said, "Do you know what I have done to you? I have given you an example, and blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you're willing to serve. Blessed are you if you model the example of Jesus. Blessed are you if you do them," He said. You say, "Jim, I don't have a whole lot. I can't give much." He just washed their feet that night. Didn't cost Him anything. Are you hearing me? Blessed are you, church, followers of Christ. Blessed are you if you do them, He said. And may this Christmas season be about humility and serving rather than fussing about receiving and what we don't have. Amen. Now, we're going to prepare for communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes to the church at Corinth the instructions that he had been given about, we call it communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He," that's Jesus, "also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" That's why we do communion. "To remember the sacrifice, to remember the humility, to remember the servanthood, to remember the cost the Son of God gave His life so that we might live. And in the next part, in 1 Corinthians 11, if you read a little further, you will see that the Apostle Paul says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself. So that's what we're going to do. What does examine ourselves mean? It basically means if there's sin in our life, we best repent of it and get right with God. Let us examine ourselves and come to the table of the bread and the cup. And he says, let us come in a worthy manner to receive the bread and the cup. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to bow our heads in prayer and we're going to examine ourselves and prepare to receive the elements of the bread and the cup. Now let me say this, while your heads are being bowed, let me say this. If you've never repented of your sin and invited Christ to be Lord of your life, and I mean completely surrendered to Christ, that's the first thing that should happen. Eternity depends on that. And we want to come to the communion table in a manner, as Paul said, worthy of taking the elements. And so our first prayer may be, Father, forgive me, I have sinned. I recognize I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And I want Jesus Christ to come into my life and take control of my life. He is Lord for me. Maybe that needs to be our first prayer. And if we have done that, then Paul simply says to the rest of us, examine ourselves today and prepare to receive the elements of the bread and the cup. So let us take a moment of silence to do that now. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank and praise you again for this day, this opportunity that we have had to worship you, to sing songs of praise to you, and yet to be reminded of the humility and servanthood and sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God. And so while we celebrate this Christmas season, Father, help us to remember the greatest gift. The greatest gift is Jesus Christ. Help us to remember His example. Help us to be people that are willing to humble ourselves and serve. And so go with each and every one today, Lord. Encourage us in our journey. Maybe some are still wondering about this whole Christian thing, this whole surrender to Jesus thing. Encourage them, Father. Draw them near. Help them to trust you completely. And as we've just sung, do not pass us by. Keep calling so we keep hearing, and help us to keep coming to you by faith in total surrender. Go with each one today, this week, and this Christmas season, and use us. Use us, Father, as humble servants, not for a pat on the back, because Jesus did that for us. He was a humble servant to us. And so use us this Christmas season to be givers of ourself and humbling ourselves and serving others. Thank you for each one here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.